All right, let's stand together. We're going to sing At the Cross. All right, here we go.
Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for sinners such as I? At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it for crimes that I have done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond at the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. The props of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Dear Lord, I give myself away. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
All right, you may be seated this morning. We have a couple of special songs this morning.
This song, these words were penned by my mother years and years ago for Mother's Day. There's not a ton of Mother's Day songs out there, but my mother was a young mother. She became a mother when she was pretty young, always a wonderful mother, raised me and my sister in church, along with my grandmother and great-grandmother, and a godly legacy. And through her example and God's grace, my dad became a Christian when I was 12. But I went through some teen years when I didn't really appreciate her like I should have, but now, you know, as I grew older, I came to realize what a blessing she was. And I said, you know, as Proverbs said, her children will arise up and call her blessed. And me and my sister, and Katie and Kyle, she got C. Roxy, but she passed away in 2011. But she's a great blessing, and these words are what she penned for Mother's Day, so me and Katie are going to share that.
Like Hannah in the days of old took little Samuel and gladly gave her cherished son to serve the Lord. My mother told the Lord, until he comes, we're here to do his will. I thank the Lord for giving me a Christian mother. I thank the Lord for giving me a mother who lives her life for thee and shows me how to walk your way along with her. She teaches me the word of God and reads of places Christ has trod. I thank the Lord for giving me a Christian mother. Each day we kneel before the Lord and hear her pray. Please guide our footsteps on life's pathway every day. And when we're all grown up and gone, she knows her teaching still goes on. I thank the Lord for giving me a Christian mother. I thank the Lord for giving me A mother who lives her life for thee and shows me how to walk your way. Along with her, she teaches me the word of God and reads the places Christ has trod. I thank the Lord for giving me a Christian mother. I thank the Lord for giving me a Christian mother.
Wonderfully, wonderfully made. We're going to look at a favored mother. Her name was Jochebed. Exodus chapter 2. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 10. And it says, "There went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. When she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. When she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, 'This is one of the Hebrews' children.' Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?' And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go.' And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, 'Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages.' And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, 'Because I drew him out of the water.'" Well, it doesn't mention that her name is Jochebed here in this passage, but we certainly know that that's her name because her name is listed in a couple of the different genealogies in the scripture. And so this story is about Jochebed, the favored mother. Of all God's creations, woman was a stroke of brilliance. And mothers truly are a masterpiece by God. All that God created is beyond comprehension. But I tell you, ingrained in each one of us is the love for and the admiration of the creature that we call mother. And it doesn't matter if it's a human mother or of the animal kingdom. Mothers are just different and they're special. And so we want to honor our mothers today, as God tells us that we should. And I want to talk about this particular mother, whose name was Jochebed, the mother of Moses. I mentioned to you before, in a previous Mother's Day, a quote from Abe Lincoln, and I reminded, it was 5 years ago when I used this quote, so more than likely you don't remember it. But Lincoln said of his mother, he said, "No man is poor who has a godly mother." He also said, "All that I ever hoped to be, I owe to my angel mother." Others have said many things about mothers, and just a few of the things that I saw that made an impression upon me, I've jotted down. One said, "Mothers possess a power beyond that of a king on his throne." When you look at your mother, you're looking at the purest love you will ever know. How true is that? And then this final one. Your mother is your first friend, your best friend, and your forever friend. I want to look at this famous mother. She's more famous because of her children than really anything. She was the mother to 3 famous people. In the scripture, not just Moses that we're reading about here, but we see his sister Miriam played a part in his story as well, his older sister. And of course he had an older brother named Aaron also, who was the first high priest. Miriam was a prophetess, and then Moses, of course, was renowned for being the arm of God's salvation for the deliverance of his people from Egypt. And all of them had godly mother, godly father as well. And the story of Moses' survival is what we're looking at today, and it is quite a amazing story about how that he survived the evil rule that was in place in Egypt at the time. And so the rule was that the midwives were supposed to be killing all of the male children of the Egyptian mothers. And the midwives feared God and refused to do it. And so then a new decree was made, and you can read in the previous chapter and kind of see what they were supposed to do. In the last verse of chapter 1, it says, "Every son that is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive." And so it was just too hard, I suppose, he thought, for these midwives, these mothers themselves, to kill these babies, and so we'll make it a little easier on them, just take and toss them in the river. You don't have to get your hands bloody, so to speak. Just toss them in the river. Let the crocodiles take care of it. And this lady, Jochebed, who is the central part of our story today, was already a mother. She already had two children. We know that. The story kind of acts as if she just got married and she just had this child. But, you know, the child that she had was, you know, most important really to the life and history of Israel was Moses. Aaron, very important as well. And so it kind of central thought is around his birth. And this mom refused to see her child killed. So she, I guess, had the baby in secret, hid him for as long as she could, safely, I suppose. And then, in just a moment of desperation and inspiration, built this little ark and placed her baby in it. And you saw the results of how that Moses was saved and became the savior of the people of Israel. So I want us to think about this this favored mother and how that she honored God and how God honored her. Her name means that. It means honor or glory to God. That's what Jochebed means. And it is not always easy to trust our children to God. But that's exactly what she did. She trusted God with her son, and we can learn from that. We need to learn to trust God with our children too. So I want to look at three important lessons about trusting God with your children from this passage. Number one, we got to learn to trust God first ourselves. Number two, you entrust them then to the Lord. Trust your children to the Lord. And then number three, raise your children in the Lord. So, number one, trust the Lord yourself. The best way to teach someone is to show them and then let them do, right? You can tell somebody how to do something and they could try to do it, and if it's not difficult, maybe they could, but if it's something that's elaborate or difficult, just to tell it, most people can't just pick up something and do it without a good teacher, without a good demonstration, without a good video to follow. Man, with YouTube, you can almost do anything, right? You can stop it and go back a little bit, and you know, you can do a lot of stuff. I tore apart the engine on my little truck one time and, you know, redid a, you know, valve cover and stuff like that. I would never be able to do something like that. And I don't know if I'll ever try it again, to be honest with you. I had a notebook with, like, I don't remember how many steps and little pieces of orange tape everywhere with numbers all over it. Did exactly like the dude in the video. Had me, I mean, detailed steps of what to do. And finished and cranked it, and it sounded like a lawnmower. Scared me to death. I was like, oh my gosh, I've killed my truck. How much is this going to cost me? I had forgot to hook back up one hose on a I think it's called a PCV or PVC valve, whatever it is, right on top of that, on that manifold, on that valve cover. And once I plugged it in there, it purred like a kitten. Like, wow, I did it. Wasn't leaking oil anymore. It was an amazing thing. A good example is how people learn. If you want for your children to love God, trust God, then you love God and trust God. Show them what that looks like. That's speaking to all of us, isn't it? Not just mothers, but fathers and aunts and uncles and friends. If we want to train this next generation to truly be God followers, then we need to be God followers ourselves. So if you want them to love, show them how to love. If you want them to be kind yourself. If you want them to have faith in God, you have faith in God. Truly practice what you preach and expect from your kids, and they will follow your lead. God made them that way. God made young ones to be impressionable and to learn from others. Mike and I were talking about that a little bit yesterday, how pliable the young brain is, and that you can teach a kid at 2 years old how to play a violin or a piano or something like that. And, you know, if you really spend enough time and you know what you're doing, they can become exceptional at it. There's a reason why that it's difficult for people my age to learn a new language. My brain is not soft enough anymore to do it. But you can have kids that learn multiple languages when they're little. And so you train them. When they're young, you show them right from wrong and teach them, they will follow your lead. Trust the Lord yourself if you want for your children to trust Him. And so we see in this story that when she conceived and bare a son, she saw that he was a goodly child, and she hid him for 3 months. She became pregnant during a very difficult time, didn't she? A time when she had a, I don't like the word chance, but a 50-50 chance, right, for that child to either live or to die. I would imagine that for 9+ months, she had nothing but constant thought about, is it a boy or a girl, right? That would have been the natural thing to have been on her mind and heart. Is this going to be a boy or is this going to be a girl? And all the old wives are talking about, look how low she's carrying that baby. That's going to be a boy, you know. And others may have said something different. But they didn't know. They didn't have ultrasounds and whatnot like that to decide whether or not it was a boy or a girl. They can tell from ultrasounds, right? Right, Micah? They can tell from ultrasounds. Micah was supposed to be a girl. We debated on names. Could not agree on a girl's name for nothing. I mean, Dan wanted some crazy name. I don't even remember what it was now. I'm like, I ain't naming a child that. But we had decided early on, before we knew boy or girl, Micah James. I mean, he's just a perfect name for us. No disagreement whatsoever, but never could we agree. We're driving to the hospital to have this girl. Still talking about what are we going to name her. Then I spoke him into the male existence. Because I said to his mother, well, he just needs to be a boy then. Because we can agree on a boy's name. And Deanne had Micah. And I don't remember exactly what was said. But the doctor basically said, you have a little boy here. And I was like, are you sure? And he's like, you want to see? Like, yeah, it's a boy. I was like, praise God. We could agree on a boy's name. And so there he was. She would have had no ability to know one way or the other. We thought we did. Now, Shelby, on the other hand, man, they just take a little blood test and they can tell you somehow or another. This stuff is getting way beyond me. She's going to have a little girl. Jacoby had no idea. But I'm going to tell you, I think for 9 months, I really believe that for 9+ months, she thought about it. I think she was trusting God. I think she was praying about it. I think she was even coming up with a plan in case, because we see it laid out here. What if this is a boy? Matter of fact, I don't think there was a midwife involved. I kind of feel like that she just kind of, you know, did her own thing, or maybe she had a midwife that just kind of like before just would not go through with doing what was told for them to do. Whatever the case is, she had Moses and she didn't let anybody know about it that could tell on them for as long as she possibly could. She was endangering herself by doing that. She was endangering her husband and other children as well. It was the Pharaoh's rule. I don't know what the consequences would have been, but I'm sure it wouldn't have been good if she would have been found out. I don't know why he was so fearful of all of the Israeli males. When you look at how powerful and cunning that this mother was, there was certainly some strength and faith there. There needed to be fear of those women that trusted in God also. But anyway, the time came and she had this child, and he wasn't thrown into the Nile, and she eventually got to where she did not feel like that she could safely harbor him any longer. And what a beautiful story of salvation of her son that we see there in the second chapter. It's a wonderful picture of God's salvation for us and so forth. But she made this little ark, and she placed Moses, of course, in the water. She knew exactly what she was doing. She knew when to do it. She knew, I believe, that the Pharaoh's daughter would be down there washing. She knew that there would be servants out there, and, you know, a baby would be heard easily. I mean, women's ears especially are attuned to the sound of a crying baby. Me, it's water running. I can hear somebody's toilet running from two houses over. My ear is just that way, man. I can remember being in here up in this pulpit many times, and that, it's like, is there a toilet running in there? And I noticed it's probably the fan that I was hearing. But, you know, we're just geared differently. And women, they could hear a baby crying, you know, from afar. And these young maidens, they hear that baby, and one of them wades out there to get the child. Brings, oh, my goodness, it's a beautiful Hebrew baby. And, of course, Miriam's over there hiding in the bushes watching what's going on because that's what her mother told her to do. And I guess the Pharaoh's daughter just started fawning over this child, as you know, how beautiful is a little, you know, 3-month-old, right? A goodly one, especially as the scripture describes him. And it's just kind of hard to turn away, a found life, whether it be a kitten or a child, you know, if you're a woman, it seems. Me, I know how to just turn a blind eye to those animals. I don't want somebody else's animal. You know, they got to go. But the soft heart of this daughter of Pharaoh wants to save this child. And then Miriam steps out of the bulrushes and says, do you want me to find a maid? Someone to nurse her? To nurse him for you? Well, what a great idea, right? All of these Hebrews' mothers that have lost their children because of this evil policy are certainly capable of nursing this child. Because they don't have a child of their own, it would be easy for them to step in and do that. You do exactly that. Go call for me one of those. Oh, obviously she goes and gets her mother, the mother of this baby. This woman and all the others did not know that that was what was going on. But that is exactly what happened. I love the fact that this story is not just mentioned here in Exodus chapter 2, but it's also mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. That great chapter of faith. We call it the Faith Hall of Fame is what we refer to it as. And it mentions many people throughout the Bible and the faith that they had. And it mentions the faith of Jochebed and of the father as well. Amram, I think it is. So we read in Hebrews 11 that by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. God makes it very clear to us that what his mother and father was doing was an act of faith by preserving his life and putting him in that ark to float down the Nile River. And so I hope that you will learn from their faith, learn to trust God. And in you trusting God, you'll be able to teach your children to trust God. God had a special purpose for this child, and God has a special purpose for your children as well. She saw that Moses was no ordinary child, but what mother wouldn't say that about their own child, right? But the Scripture points out that this was no ordinary child also. And so there's certainly some added emphasis to the fact that Moses was exceptional in some ways. In our passage here, she saw that he was a goodly child. In Hebrews, it says he was a proper child. Goodly means beautiful or good. There was something about Moses that stood out to her, something that made her realize that God had a special purpose for her son. And no doubt all mothers, as I said, feel that way. But God certainly appears to have truly shown Jochebed that this was a son that he was going to do something with. He had a special purpose for him, and I believe he has a special purpose for every child. Love the songs that were sang this morning. One of them was verses from Psalms 139. Where it talks about being knit in the mother's womb. I was just sitting here thinking to myself how that God chose such the perfect analogy to how he puts us together in our mother's womb. I thought, you know, he didn't talk about building a house with hammers and nails in that passage. That would have meant something to us guys. I'm like, man, we're rugged, man. We're put together right. But no, he talks about knitting. You know, knitting. Any of you guys knit? Don't be afraid. You can raise your hand if you knit. Nothing wrong with that. I sew. You know, every once in a while. I've been commissioned to sew a blanket for my granddaughter. I don't know when I'm going to get it done, but I am. But we've been knit together, the scripture says. I've been created in my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. And then I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. And then it says, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Isn't that amazing? He knew us. Knew exactly everything about us. Knew what he needed and wanted for us to be before he ever made us, as he was making us. It takes faith to believe that. It takes faith to see it. And Amram and Jochebed believed God would preserve and protect him. They had entrusted him to the river. He was found. And then he was raised in the house of Pharaoh. Why was she faithful and not afraid of the king's edict? Because she knew she served a big God. And so her son was saved. That took a lot of faith. She, as I mentioned, was no doubt endangering herself and others. She recognized what all of us need to recognize, which is very important. It's better for us to obey God rather than man. And that's what she did. She in her heart knew that this was something that she needed to do. And by faith she did it, and God honored that. I think about Peter as we've been studying. In Acts chapter 5, for the first time, Peter is, you know, grabbed and then thrown in jail. We just seen him getting out of jail sermons ago, miraculously. And the first time, same thing happened. He gets thrown in jail. An angel comes and lets him loose. And that time, the angel told him what to do. He says, go back into the market and keep on preaching. Remember that from Acts chapter 5? And he goes out there and he's preaching. And then they come out there and they grab him again and take him back to the Sanhedrin. It's like, how did you get out of jail? And why are you still doing what we told you not to do? And in his response, he says, it's better for me to obey God rather than man. And that's what she did. She trusted God and obeyed him. And look how God blessed her and saved her child as a result of it. She trusted God with her child by first trusting in the Lord. She had faith. She saw something special in him. And then she obeyed God rather than the king. It's the same with us who are parents. Before you trust God with your children, you must trust him yourself. Trust that he has a special purpose for your child, and then obey God rather than man. Second point I want to make is that we should trust our children to the Lord. Trust your children to the Lord. If you read verses 3 through 9, you can see how that Moses was saved and how that he was, you know, brought up in luxury and in great learning. But before that took place, he was with his mother for some time. we need to trust our children to the Lord. In other words, we need to give our children to the Lord. The other song was about Hannah. Is there any more precious story in the Bible of a mother who wants to be a mother and how God blesses her with a child and how that she keeps her commitment to God if God gave her that child? That's Hannah's story. Lord, if you'll give me a son, he'll be yours all of his days. And that's exactly what happened. Once she weaned him, the same thing. Took him to Samuel and said, here he is. I promised this child to God, and so here he is. He's gonna be with you, and he's going to help whatever you need him to do. And every year, she would make him little coats. And the coats would get a little bigger and a little bigger year by year, right? What a precious story how that she gave her child to the Lord. Man, I've prayed many things for my children through the years. Pray for them every day. Pray that God bless them. Pray that the baby inside of my daughter would be healthy and strong. Pray that my son, who's ministering in Kingsville, would have people to tell Jesus about. Pray that my son that is working on computers would do good in his job and honor him in the workplace. You know, pray for your children. Give them to God. Trust him to use them. They're his anyway. He's entrusted us with them. You trust them right back to him. Pray that God will use your children to do something awesome for the Lord. That's my prayer. No pressure on them. I want them to be their own person. I want them to serve God as God wants them to. They don't have to be me. They don't have to be their mother. They just need to be themselves. And the same should be with your children. We look up to our parents. We want to imitate them in some ways, but they're their own people. When I was growing up in my uncle's house, he had three boys. And y'all pray for my Uncle Ben. Two Sundays from now is going to be his final Sunday as pastor. My Aunt Shirley is getting pretty sick. But they were raised around the church, just like my kids were. Just good old-fashioned country preaching, you know. Whooping, Bible in a belt is the name of the song. Yeah, that was the life that we were brought up in, right? And everybody always thought that, well, surely one of them boys will be a preacher, you know. They really thought David was. David was the middle boy. He was the one everybody just assumed was going to preach. And everybody kind of prophesied on him that he was supposed to be a preacher or whatever. No. David was a big old football player, All-American at Stephen F. Austin. And he coached his whole life, just now retired. Wonderful man of God, don't get me wrong. Could probably get up here and do a better job than I could as far as preaching is concerned, but he had not been called to preach. Me, on the other hand, some tow-headed 15-year-old showed up and invaded their home, and within 18 months, I'm walking down the aisle to surrender to the ministry. I don't know if that necessarily was honoring Uncle Ben and his life of sacrifice and his ministry. I've never felt like that I was the son that did surrender when the others did not. I've never felt that way. I didn't have a Joseph moment, you know. And I haven't expected that out of my children either. I've never put pressure on my kids to try to follow my footsteps, and I hope that you don't either. Let God choose for them what their path is, just as you should for your children. You teach them. You nurture them. You teach them the truth. Use a Bible and a belt. Train them up. God will take care of the rest. And he will. Be consistent in your life before them. But trust your children to the Lord. Give them to the Lord. Hannah did. We should as well. Then trust God's sovereign care. It's just amazing how this story unfolds. It's almost too good to be true, right? The whole Bible is almost too good to be true. I get to live forever. That's almost too good to be true. But it is true. It is true. Trust God's sovereign care. Once you've given your children to the Lord, you need to trust God to do his thing. And we see how that this amazing, loving, sovereign, providential, protective God took Moses into his care, put him in a safe place there in the very house of Pharaoh. That Hebrew baby was brought up as a grandson of the very Pharaoh. And so we see that all things do work together for the good of those who love God, those who are the called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28. Looking a little closer at the verses now, verses 7 and 8. It said, his sister said, I'll go and call thee a nurse of the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for thee. And the daughter said, go. She went and called the mother's child. What an amazing God. Not only did his life get preserved, but his mother became his nursemaid. And it goes even deeper. Not only was she chosen to raise her own child instead of having him thrown into the river, but she's paid to raise him. Ooh, man, what a powerful God we serve. You ever been blessed by God like that? And we feel like you don't deserve it, because you really don't. But boy, how God can take and bless us when we least expect it and do things that just make you go, wow, what an amazing God. The fact that I'm married to the woman that I'm married to, I have an amazing God, an amazing mother for my three children. We heard about mothers that we're saying about today. And I can tell you, I may not have known the first mother. I don't think I met your mother. But I know that other mother that was being honored today. And I know the mothers that were up there singing today. Those are good people, good mothers, wonderful mothers. Thank God for godly mothers. And so this mother, God just lavished his blessings upon and honored her in an amazing way. This sovereign good God that he is took Moses and let his own mother raise him. Now we need to move on to that last section, which is to raise your children in the Lord, because that's the amazing part about this story. You know, Proverbs 22:6 is one of our favorite verses about raising kids, right? Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. She had a brief period of time to instill in baby Moses a love for God. Now, we don't know how long that she nursed him, probably longer than she should have, right? Some of us see people that nurse kids that are a little too old, and we're like, oh my gosh, why aren't they still nursing that baby? You know, that's our babies, though, you know? So it wouldn't be uncommon in that time, especially for children to be nursed, 3 years old, 4 years old, maybe five, I don't know. She may have had a few years even to be the nurse of this child. In my mind, I've always kind of thought that maybe he just kind of spent the day there, and as he got older, maybe he eventually started staying the night in the palace. I don't really know exactly what happened. But she had some time to teach him. And I can guarantee you that she felt an urgency about teaching him about God. Because she wasn't going to have him in her home and in her possession forever. Now, mamas, I don't make you cry. But those babies you have, you're not going to have forever. They're not going to be babies forever. They're going to get up and go off to school. They're going to get married and start having babies of their own. And then those grandkids are yours, not theirs, right? It's kind of the way I see it, too. I don't know how it's going to work out, but kind of how I see it. But she had a brief time, and she knew that. And I'm convinced that her and her husband just poured into that child and made sure that Aaron and Miriam was on board with it. We need to train him about everything having to do with the Jewish faith that we possibly can as quick as we can. He needs to understand how awesome of a God it is that we serve. Yes, we're in captivity, but we serve a good God, and he's going to get us out of this captivity one day. Little would they know that it would be Moses that God would choose, him and Aaron, to lead them in that very salvation. So she took the time that she had to raise that child up in the Lord. Not only does she get him back, but she gets paid to keep him, and then she gets the opportunity to teach him about God. That to me is just an amazing story. So how do we raise our children in the Lord? Three quick things and then I'm done. The very first thing, a very important thing, is you got to teach them God's Word. Teach them God's Word. In Deuteronomy, people like her were taught very clearly how to do that. It says in Deuteronomy 11:18, it says, therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, and that they may be the frontlets between your eyes. And you shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thy house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. In other words, don't ever start
stop talking about Jesus. Don't ever stop talking about the Word of God and about truth and about Scripture. It's important that you instill in your children the Word of God. And that's what He told His people to do. And I'm 100% convinced that's exactly what His parents did for Him. Instilled in Him every waking hour of the day to honor God. I love what Paul says about Timothy, what godly parents he must have had. 2 Timothy 3:15. He said, how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. He was a baby, and his people were teaching him, now one day you need to trust Jesus as your Savior. And when you do, you're going to be baptized. And then you're going to serve God. And you're going to honor Him. So we've had our little ones here. And they've been over in Children's Church. And I can promise you, that's exactly what we've been teaching them. Teaching them to love God and to honor Him. Teaching them that God loves them. Teaching them about His promises. Teaching them about sin and the need for forgiveness. Teaching them about Jesus and the cross and salvation through faith in Him. How do you raise your children, the Lord? First thing you do is you teach them the Word of God. Number two, you bring them to church. That's an important part of raising a child. I don't like to say one is more important than the other, but I can tell you what God says about bringing them to church. He says, don't forsake that. Don't forsake that. It's important. Not only will you be teaching your children the Word of God, but Miss Shelby will, and Miss Allison will, and you know, other people will. Other Christians that they're around at church will share good things with them, love on them, show them what the Christian faith is about. Church is an important part of the life of any person, but especially for our kids. I have such fond memories of when I was a wee little fella. Different churches that I went to. If I went over to Granny's house, we went to church. My granny would take us to church. And I remember going to that big old church there in Silsby and getting up on those risers and us singing Father Abraham and all those different songs and then going outside afterwards and, you know, having mud fights. But we went to church. And I learned about God in those churches. Bring them to church. And then finally, pray with them and pray for them. Matthew 19:13. Tells about how that parents were bringing their kids to Jesus. In my mind, I can see it. They're walking up with this precious child, and they're handing him or her to Jesus and sitting him there on his leg like he's Santa Claus or something, right? That's what's happening. And so they're putting him there, and they're wanting Jesus to pray for him, put his hands on him and pray over their children. That's the appropriate thing, isn't it, to want for your child. And what do the disciples do? They say, hey, leave Jesus alone. He's got more important things to do. He can't hold every kid that's here. He's got people he needs to heal. And Jesus, the Bible says, rebuked them. And he told them, stop that. Stop telling these mamas that they can't bring their babies to me to sit on my knee. Now, he didn't say it like that, but that's what he was saying. He said, don't forbid them to bring in their children to me. And then the Bible then says he laid hands on them. In other words, he prayed for every one of those children. As I mentioned several weeks ago, he prays for us continually, doesn't he? Still today. You need to be praying for your children, teaching them to pray, bringing them to church, and instilling in them the Word of God. What wonderful mothers we've talked about today. Many of us are blessed with those as well. Some of us are about to be. And I pray that God would bless you through this portion of His Word. Let's stand together and sing a verse of invitation.